Hi, I'm Donna Patton, and I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we want to welcome you to Jesus-Centric Leadership. On today's episode, we want to talk a little bit about what our vision is. And when we say our, I'm thinking that must be peace with Christ,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
All right, so before we start, Pastor, I got to ask you, what does this term vision mean? Because I'm thinking that's something that our listeners may not use, a word that they may not use in their daily life.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we say vision, we mean the picture of the future that God has given us. It's just that clear and simple, the picture of the future that God has given us. And so we as staff, we as members of the church, we will always want to be thinking and praying about not just what has God given us to steward today, but what has he given to us to steward into the future. And so we want to understand that. The other thing I'll say real quick is that there's we as peace, we use when we say because of Jesus, love equip go, which is our vision statement. We sometimes call that our mission statement, and that gets confusing, but really for us, it's the same thing. The vision God has given us for the future is the mission, the task that we want to live out.
All right, so as I hear you, I want to equate vision with God's intentionality for us. Am I wrong with that?
No, I think it's right, but with a little bit of nuance, if that's fair. And so the idea is, I want to make this clear, that we didn't have this vision because I climbed up on a mountain and God showed me the promised land, kind of a thing. Like, it wasn't given to us like that. What we did is we surrounded writing our vision with a lot of prayer, a lot of discernment, a lot of conversation. And so that's kind of how we came about our vision. And so we believe it's faithful to God's word. It comes from God's word, but it's not that God like put a voice in the back of my head that said, hey, you should make it love, equip, go, right? He didn't do that. But he worked through a bunch of different means and a lot of different hearts to bring us to this vision.
I feel like our faith walk, leadership, all those things would be easier if we did hear the James Earl Jones voice.
Yeah, no, I think that sometimes we want that. But again, it's a pause to get this chance to remind us, how does God speak to us? So God can speak to us any way he wants. In the Old Testament, he actually talks through a donkey, right? Like, we hear that. But he speaks to us, A, through his word. And that's always the place we go to make sure it's faithful. So like, if we as staff, and so 5 years ago, we as staff, we got together, we talked, we prayed. That's where this vision came from. A lot of work on our behalf. But then we checked it to scripture. And if it didn't line up in scripture, we would have thrown it out. So scripture is primary, right? But we always have to understand that God can, he can work through wisdom. He can work through the brains of people. He can work through when we're praying and seeking him, that he gives us wisdom. God can work through all those ways, but we have to understand that we're always going to tie it back to scripture, back to his word.
Okay, so I'm hearing you, and I want to get on board with this, but I still don't know how God confirms it. So you say to look through his word. Well, I opened up the Bible randomly and looked. Like, how does this all work to know its vision and to have that confirmed?
Yeah, so I think it was a lot of different people praying over it, I think, is really how it was confirmed. And then we as a church, actually, it went to council and then it went through voters. And that's kind of how we confirmed it as our vision, where we were going to go together. But in every step of that process, there was people looking at scripture. We as staff looked at scripture. Well, just funny story, like with that, like our initial vision statement was just love, equip, go. We just ended it there. And so John Paulus, as he studied scripture, as he prayed about it, he was really convicted that really Jesus had to be in it. Actually, you and I, Donna, right? We were like good with that. We were like, no, we're a church. It's just understood we're
right
about Jesus. And John's like, no, it needs to be in there. And so that's when we came up with because of Jesus. And I think it's a lot better vision statement because it was tweaked and adapted to meet scripture. And so that's, you know, a long way of saying that a lot of people praying, a lot of people considering, and then also our congregation talking about it in voters.
Yeah, I see that right now. Even we're working on This Is Peace, and as we've worked on that over the past year, we've had some people praying over it, and it's been interesting to me and very confirming, because they are not speaking to each other, the people that we've had praying over it, but they've come back with the same things that they're hearing God saying. And I've always said, when we hear God repeat himself, we really have to listen. And I think that, and based in scripture, is a way that we know that God is speaking that vision into us and confirming it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when it lines up on scripture, there's value in something that's a little shorter, that's memorable, to kind of form us and challenge us. And so, like, as we as a church look at things, if it's not centered around Jesus, we're not going to do it, right? If it's not centered around Jesus or leading people toward Jesus, we're not going to do it. Why? Because at the cornerstone of our vision as a church is not that peace with Christ becomes great or we do all this stuff, but really that Jesus' name becomes great. And so that's really the value in having that because of Jesus right at the start. And I think that's the value of a vision statement, right? It helps us kind of look at what do we do, but also what don't we do.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast, and they talked about how their church kind of became the rock stars of ministry, and they started viewing it as their church exploded.
Yeah.
But God will humble that, you know, because it's not about us.
Yeah.
It is about kingdom growth. And that's exciting. We should be excited to be a part of that. I want to shift directions for a second, Pastor. And I want to look at, of the three of these, love, equip, go, which do you feel is the most needed in our culture today?
Can I say all of them?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I go down the list, so like love, like I think there's a deficit of community in our society right now. Like people need community. And so I think a part of that is love is challenging, right? And so like even with love, I can talk about the difference from kind and nice. I think this might be helpful for a moment. Kind and nice. So kind is this idea of I'm pleasant, right? I don't know if you know somebody that's just really kind. They're pleasant to be around. There's never a harsh word. There's never anything negative said, right? And those people are really nice to be around. But honestly, we probably need our butts kicked sometimes too. And that's where a nice person can come in. So a nice person isn't, sometimes they're pleasant, but they can also kind of speak the truth. Like they can also kind of tell what's up. They can also be honest. And so like, as we talk about a loving community, we want to be both. And that's what deep friendship is. Like you really can't have a deep friendship with someone until you overcome a struggle with them, until there has to be forgiveness. Then your friendship goes another level. And so love and community are just, I don't need just pleasant people in my life. I need people that love me in the midst of my mistakes, in the midst of my brokenness, love me like Jesus did. And that's just something that's absent.
So I think it's really easy to embrace the loving our family, loving our friends. Mm-hmm. You said, you know, that's part of deep friendship. But I want to go back to something that you're speaking to us as staff about. And one of the things you've talked about is the grocery store.
Mm.
Like when we go to the grocery store, I was there a few months ago and this man started yelling at this other person because they were stealing. And it was a moment and it was very angry and it was very hostile. Can you tie that into this concept of why we need to come from a posture of love?
Yeah, I think, well, it starts here. Jesus loved us. Right? For God so loved the world, like he gave his only son. Like if Jesus loved us in our brokenness, then we can love the people around us. That doesn't mean you invite that angry person over to your house. Not necessarily. Maybe if God calls you to, but not necessarily. But it does mean that we love them and we treat them well when we're in proximity with them. And you may need a place to escape that's safe after that, but we are called to love those people. We're called to love the people that walk into our church. Like, no one should ever, our vision is that no one should ever walk into peace with Christ and not feel that they're loved by Jesus, but here it is, and loved by the community. And so if that doesn't happen, we have some room to grow. We failed.
Yeah. Well said. Okay. So equip. You said all three are important, so let's move to equip.
Yeah, and we probably talked about this the most so far on the podcast. We'll go as well, but equip is the idea that Jesus has called us into something and we want to learn from him. I think this is really, you've added it to our language, but this question to ask people, who are you following and who are you leading, right? It's really a way that you've led youth group. And maybe explain where that comes from, that idea.
Yeah, I think we learned a long time ago as a team, as a ministry team, and it's just really carried over that, you know, the disciples followed Jesus, but they also had a call of who are you going to be leading, because it can't be all centered on one person. And we can't just assume. It comes with an intentionality. But we also need to learn and to grow into that. I am not the leader today that I was when I first came into ministry. Let's all thank God for that, right? Because in those moments of hard or messy or whatever, God refined and he grew me as a leader.
Yeah.
But I had a good leader to follow. Mm-hmm. And I knew there were students that were following me.
Yeah.
But it should never just be about me. It should be about what God's doing and how he's preparing me for the mission field.
Yeah, it's almost, Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, right? Like, and that's our heart and posture, because ultimately, what are we all doing? We're all following Christ. But that discipleship or that equipping happens with and around other people. And I think that's really key. And so when we say equip, I think it's really important that we understand that we're not talking about just a class, although the class can equip, but we're really talking about this life spent in maybe apprenticeship is kind of the word we've used. You're kind of learning from other people how to do life. And so you can be maybe equipped more as a mom from living life with someone who you see as a good mom than you can from reading a book about being a mom. Now, reading a book is great, all for that, but like, it's doing life with these people. So if you want to grow in prayer, what do? Get around somebody that prays well.
Right. Right. And I love the fact that technology has brought us to a different place. I think Carrie Newhoff talks about that, about if we're not moving into podcast or Instagram or whatever, that we're kind of missing the boat, because the way people learn has changed, and the church really has to get on board with that. So that equipping may not look the way it did a long time ago, but it's still really valuable.
Yeah. So what are you putting in your brain, right? Are you just being discipled or equipped by the news or by what you see on social media? Are you being equipped by Jesus followers online? And so that's actually, one of the points of this podcast, to help you do that. But we would encourage that you don't just use that as the end all be all, that you also look for ways you can do life with people.
Right. Which is... go.
Yeah.
All right. So love, I can get my head around. Equip, I can do that in the comfort of my car, listening to this, or in my time reading a devotional or reading the Bible. But now the go is you're really, you're challenging me to do something about it.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It is. It is. And I think Matthew 28 is helpful. It says, go and make disciples of all nations. But in the Greek, it's a little different. It's almost this idea of in your going. So it's this idea of you're going to go. There's things you're going to do. Hardly anybody in life is well off enough that they can just sit in their house and do absolutely nothing. You do have to do certain things. You have to go certain places. And so as you go, talk about Jesus. So I use the example a lot when I take my kids up to go skiing. I'm talking about Jesus, right? I like to do that. I get to do that. And as I go, or in my going, I get to do it. I get to do the discipling. And so I think the same is true in our life. As you go to work, how do you get the chance to share Jesus with someone? And so I don't think this is a call to add something to your already busy schedule, but just to be intentional about what you're doing.
Yeah, I think you've done a really good job teaching me that, because I want to be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
Because when I'm a good neighbor, then I get opportunities to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the challenge you gave to me wasn't, hey, go snowblow your neighbor's walkway. And when he comes out to thank you, go, I did it because Jesus loves you and I love you too, right? It's building a relationship and really being sensitive to when God opens that door as we go. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think being on mission with Jesus or the go for us is more about being a decent human being, and then when you have the opportunity to share Jesus, like, and I think that's really our call. Like, we've had members who they have a coworker figure out they're a Christian, and they're like, "Wow, you're a Christian? I haven't met a Christian like you. Why is that the case?" Well, because Christians can sometimes be jerks. So let's just be a decent human being and then let Jesus come up in conversation. And I think if we do that, we're going to have way more opportunities to go than we ever thought. And then when you're challenged by that, guess what? You get to come back here. You get to be equipped. You get to be loved. You get to go out again. And that's really how these three things really fit together. They're not, it's not a progression where I learn the love, then I'm equipped, then I'm go. No, it's this constant circle, right? I'm equipped, I go, I come back to be loved, I love others here, and I'm equipped, and I go. It just keeps kind of going.
Something that you said really resonated. I went to the Ed Sheeran concert, and when we were leaving, there was a gentleman, he was standing on a crate, he had a bullhorn, and he was saying that people were going to hell.
Yeah.
Repent now. And I experienced the same thing when I went to the Rose Parade. Leading up to the parade, people were walking up and down the street with these loud speakers, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, you're going to go to hell. And one lady's shirt said, I will be sad for you when you go to hell. And I grieved all of that because that I believe that's not the way we're going to share the love. And that's not the way that we're going to be able to speak hope into people's lives.
Yeah.
So why does that happen?
I think because you have, and we should have this, a passion for the gospel and a passion for the truth. And we should have that. But I think when a passion for the gospel and a passion for the truth isn't grounded deeply in how Jesus behaved and walked with others, then we miss the point. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus did clear the temple. Like, let's not forget that. But let's also remember that that was the temple. He was harsh on the Christians. And so I think we should. Sometimes I think we should be more bold with each other as Christians. But when it comes to the world, Jesus always interacted with the world, the non-church, the synagogue. He always interacted with those people outside of God's love with grace. Truth, yes, but with grace.
And over and over and over again, we see in scripture where it was relationship.
Yes.
Where the greatest moments, it seems like, came in relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you can have those hard conversations in relationships with your neighbors, but do it in relationship. That's where this passion, that's where the biggest bang for your buck is going to happen. That's where the opportunity is going to abound.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So what do you want us to really catch on to today?
You know, just I think to remember those words, because of Jesus, love, equip, go. I think it's really easy to remember, really easy to carry. And if you grasp that, then that's a win.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So we want to thank you for joining us today for Jesus-Centric Leadership. And we will see you in our next episode.